Welcome to TanakhStudy.com. This is Jesse Salem, and together we are studying Sefer Yehoshua.
Yehoshua Perek Bet. In this Perek, we will see the sending of the Meragelim to Yericho. Throughout the Perek, and at the end I'll sum it up, I'll address why they were sent and how it compares or contrasts to the Meragelim that Moshe Rabbeinu sent. Pasuk Aleph. Vayishlach Yehoshua binun menashitim, shenayim anashim meragelim hayresh lemor. Yehoshua binun sent from a place called Shittim. Its full name is Avel Shittim, as we've seen in Bemidbar, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Mem Tet. This is where Bnei Yisrael was situated, as was their last stop in Sefer Bemidbar, and the place where Moshe Rabbeinu addressed the nation from in Sefer Devarim. It's only about 7 to 8 miles from the Jordan River, which makes it only a few hours' walk to Yericho. So Yehoshua sent from this place two men spies quietly. Meragelim Cheresh. So this quietly can either mean one of two things. It can either mean that the Meraglim should go quietly, so as not to be caught. Or, alternatively, it can mean that Yehoshua sent them quietly so Bnei Israel would not know of the mission. This would be clearly the opposite of what Moshe did when all the spies reported back to all of Bnei Israel at once. Over here, it's only Yehoshua that knows about the mission. Now, it's important to mention that the Navi never tells us who these two people are. Chazal say that it's Pinchas and Kalev, but the Peshat of the Navi here is keeping it a secret. No one in Bnei Israel knows who these people are or what they are, why they're even sent. And the Navi is playing on that, even keeping the information secretly away from us, the reader. And what does Yehoshua tell these Menagelim? Lechu re'u et ha'aretz ve'et Yericho. Go see the land and Yericho. Et ha'aretz, the land, which includes Yericho. Yericho is parallel to where Bnei Israel are now, right across the Jordan River, and it would be the first city they would encounter when entering Eretz Israel. Yericho, by the way, has been located in archaeological digs in Israel. It's right near modern-day Yericho, about 7 miles west of the Jordan River. They actually found the remains of the wall of the city as well. And now the Meragelim continue on their way. And they went and they came to the house of a woman, a zona, and her name was Rahav, and they slept there. So, isha zona, the pshat over here, as the word means elsewhere in Tanakh, and as the Rishonim explain, is a harlot. Targum Yonatan, though, explains it here as an innkeeper. I don't think he's translating zona to mean an innkeeper. I believe he's pointing out that the Meragelim didn't choose the destination because she was a harlot, rather because they needed a place to sleep. Based on the Peshat, we can still say that the Meragelim choose literally a zona's home to stay at, as it's a place where people pass by and speak openly. It's a great place for spies to gather information, helping them carry out the mission that their new leader Yehoshua sent them on. That could very well be the reason they chose an isha zona's home. That was a loaded pasuk. Now we'll move a lot faster. The Navi itself will also indicate a fast-moving pace, a fast-moving events over here. Vayeamar lemelech Yericho demor. It was told to the king of Yericho, saying, Hine anashim ba'u hena halayla b'nei Yisrael lachpor et ha'aretz. Men have came tonight from Bnei Israel to spy out the land. Lachpor literally means to dig out information from the inhabitants, which is why I translated it as to spy. Vayishlach melech Yericho el Rahav lemor, hosi'i ha'anashim ha'ba'im elayich asher ba'u lebetech ki lachpor et kol ha'aretz ba'u. And the king of Yericho sent to Rahav saying, bring out the men who came to you, came into your home, because they came to dig out information, to spy out the entire land. The messengers of the king here are standing outside and demanding from Rahav to send out the spies, and they come with a claim that the spies came out to spy out the entire land. They stressed the severity and danger at hand. And the woman, Rahav over here, took the two men and she hid them. It seems like Rahav hid them right when she had some sort of inclination that the king was after them. The Navi here gives a very undetailed account of what happened, possibly stressing how quickly all this happened. Vatitzpeno, I translate as she hid them. It literally translates as she hid him. Radak, Rashi, among other Mefarshim, explain that she hid each one separately, each one on their own. Vatomer, ken, ba'u elai ha'anashim v'lo yadati ma'ayin hema. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from. We actually weren't told that she was asked, but from her answer we see that she was questioned. And she responds with, I had no idea where they're from, who they are. Vahi ashar diskor, bahoshech v'hanashim yasau, lo yadati ana halucha anashim. And she continues now. She gives them advice, albeit false advice, but it's a good cover to show her loyalty to her king and city. What did she say? The gates were closing, they were about to close at darkness, and the men left. I didn't know where they went. Ritfu mahera harahem kitasigum, chase after them quickly so you could catch them. And now the Navi goes into a longer, much longer detailed account of what really happened. Vehi ha'ilatam hagaga. And she took them up to the rooftop, batit menem befishte ha'etz ha'aruchot la alagag. And she hid them in the flax stalks that were set up for her, that were prepared for her on the roof. Over here, the Navi refers to the flax as flax trees. It's more of a plant and reed. They're set to dry on the rooftops. It's the early spring season, and she hid them there, she hid the people there, in the flax that was set there to dry. So, as we pointed out, until now the Navi only gave key components of what happened to keep the story a fast-paced one, and now it will go into the more detailed account of what happened. V'ha'anashim radifu acharehem derech ha'yarden al ha'ma'berot, and the men chased after the spies towards the Yarden, on the road to the Yarden, al ha'ma'berot, until the crossings. So they chased after them, or at least they thought they were chasing after them until the crossings. These crossings could have either been like a bridge, or as we know today, there are some shallow areas that it's possible to cross by foot. Those may be also the ma'berot that it's referring to in the pasuk. And the gate, they closed, probably the people in the house, they closed, after the chasers, the men, king's men, started chasing after these spies. And these spies, before they went to sleep, and she went up to them on the rooftop. Vatomer el ha'anashim, and she told the men, Yadati, I know, ki natan Adonai lachem et ha'aretz, that Hashem has given you the land. She speaks in past tense, ki natan, that's how sure she is. And now pay attention to the language she uses. V'chi nafela ematchem alenu. This is just as Moshe and Bnei Yisrael wish for in Shirat Hayam in Shemot Perek Tedvav, Tipol Alehim Emata V'Fachad. And over here, she's saying that fear has fell upon us. And she continues saying that all the inhabitants of the land melted from you. And this is also the language that Moshe and Bnei Yisrael use in Shirat Hayam to describe the nations of Kenaan. Namogu kol yoshevei Kenaan. And as over here she says, v'chi namogu kol yoshevei ha'aretz mipneichem. So she knows, and she claims that the rest of the people in the land know that they are beat. And now she recounts the miraculous events and why the people in Eretz Kenaan are terrified of Bnei Yisrael. Because we heard how Hashem dried out the waters of Yam Suf, of the Reed Sea, from in front of you when you left Egypt. This is the miracle of Kriyat Yam Suf in Shemot, where Hashem literally dried out the sea, right? We know the pasuk says, Vayolech Adonai Ruach Kadim Azak Kol HaLayla Vayasem Et HaYam LeHarava. So we know Hashem dried out the land of Yam Suf. And just as you did to the two kings, the two Emori kings, who were on the bank of the Jordan, meaning on the eastern side of the Jordan River, to Sihon, the king Sihon, and also the king Og, and you destroy them. This is how Bnei Yisrael obliterated the two Amori kings. We know this from Sefer Bamidbar and Sefer Devarim, that both these kings came out to fight Israel, and Bnei Yisrael pushed back, wiped them out, and took over their lands on the eastern side of the Jordan.
Ki Adonai Elohechem, Hu Elohim Bashamayim Ma'al Ve'al Ha'aretz Mitacht.
And we heard and our hearts melted. And we didn't have any more spirit or courage to stand up to you. Because Hashem, your God, and pay attention to these words, He is the God in the heavens above and on the ground, land below. This, according to Harambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, is Rahav's understanding and acknowledgement of one omnipotent and anthropomorphic God, as it's impossible for any physical entity to be in two places at one time. And now Rahav continues of what she wants from these men. Ve'ata, and now, Hishavi'u nadi badunai, swear to me, now in the name of God, ki asiti imachim chased, because I did for you a kindness, va'asitem gam atem im bet avi chesed, and you shall do for me and my father's home a kindness, untatem li ot emet, and you shall give me a loyal, a true sign. Va'achayitem et avi, ve'et immi, ve'et achai, ve'et achyotai, ve'et kol asher lahem, ve'isaltem et nafshotenu mimavet, and you shall save my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and everything they have, and you shall save our souls from death. Now pay attention with these two men answer back to her. They don't say, we don't know, we have to ask Yoshua, we'll get back to you. Pay attention with what they say. Vayomiru lah anashim, nafshenu tahtechem lamut. And the men told her, our soul, our lives will be in place of you to die. Im lo tagidu et devarenu ze. But as long as you don't say these words, you don't repeat over what happened. Vehaya betet adonai lanu et ha'ares, ve'asinu imach. And it shall be when Hashem gives over the land to us, we shall do for you chesed, kindness, and emet, truth. They promise to do with her kindness and truth. Some of Hashem explains to me, to explain this to mean chesed shel emet, the true kindness, kindness of truth. I like Radak's understanding that it's a kindness, which is something that's undeserving, referring to them saving her family, as she asked for beforehand, va'asitem im bet avi chesed, so they are performing a chesed for her family. And two, a truth, which is something deserving, referring to herself. She saved them, and now she deserves to be saved. Va'toridem ba'hevel be'ad ha'halon, and she lowered them down by a rope from the window, ki be'ta be'kira choma u'ba'choma hi'oshavet, because her home is in the wall of the city, and in the wall she lives. So be'kira choma, the standard Perush has always been that Rahab used the city wall as one of her house walls, similar to what we see today by the Kotel. The Kotel is a wall, and people build other three walls around it with the Kotel as one of their walls. But in light of the walls they actually found in Yericho, we may be able to explain a little differently. What archaeologists found was a double wall going around the city. As we know from other places in Israel, people used to use both walls for their home and literally build their home in between the city walls. So Bekira Homa would mean literally in the wall. Now, the difficulty in this pasuk is that there is an entire conversation that takes place right after, and it wouldn't make sense to have taken place outside as they're running for their lives right now. So I'd like to explain this over here based on other Pirushim. Over here, she intended and prepared to send them out, that the pasuk is actually crediting her with already sending them away. We've had precedents before for this already. One example is the Ma'pilim, right? Vaya'pilu la'u tahara, even though they didn't really go yet. So because they intended to, the Navi, or the Pasuk, is crediting them with actually taking action. So over here, Rahab, even though she didn't send them yet, they're still upstairs in the home, she's credited with sending them already. And now for the conversation that they have. Vatomer lahem hahara lechu, penifku bachem arodefim. And she told them, run towards the mountains, lest the people that are chasing you catch you. V'nachbetem shama sheloshet yamim ad shov harodefim ve'achar telechu darkechem, and hide there for 3 days until the people that are chasing you return, and then you can go on your way.
Vayomeru Elea Hanashim, and the men told her, and now they're going to explain the conditions to their swear. Nekiim anachnu mishvuatecha ze asher ishbatanu. We will be clean of the swear that we swore to you. What must she do? Hinei anachnu ba'im ba'aretz, we are coming into the land. Et tikvat chut ashani hazeh, this strand of red thread, tiksheri b'halon asher horadatenu bo, tie it to the window that you let us down from, v'et avich, v'et imech, v'et achayich, v'et kol bet avich, ta'asfi elayich habayta. And your father, your mother, your brothers, and the entire household of your father, gather into your home. So one, mark your home so we know which one it is. And two is gather your entire family into the house. And now, they'll give two conditions that'll break this promise, this deal. V'aya kol asher yaseh midalteh betech achutza damo v'roshov v'anachnu nukiyim. And it shall be, anyone that leaves the doors of your home outside, his blood is on his own head. We're not responsible for him. V'chol asher yaitach b'bayit damo v'roshenu im yad tehyeh po. And anyone that's in your house, their blood is on our head. We are responsible for them if anything happens to them. So that's one. Don't let anyone leave your home. And the second condition, v'im tagidi et devarenu ze, and if you repeat, if you say these words, v'ayinu nekiyim mishvuatech asher hishbatanu, and we will be clean of the swear that we promised you. If she repeats it, then already it's a danger to their own lives. If anyone else knows about this plan, they could be ambushed and caught. So there are two conditions over here that will totally break it off, and that is if she tells anyone else, and if her family members aren't with her in our home. Matomer kedivrechem kenhu, and she said, just as you said, so it shall be. V'tashilachem vayelechu, and she sent them and they went and they left. V'tikshor tikvat hashani b'halon, and she tied. It seems like she did it right away. She tied this red strand of thread on her window. Vayelechu vayavou ahara, and they went and they came towards the mountain. Vayeshivu sham shiloshet yamim, and they stayed there for 3 days. Ad shov harodefim, until the chasers returned. Vayvakshu harodefim uchol haderech v'lamasau, and the chasers, the people who are chasing them, asked for them on the entire road, and they couldn't find them. Vayashuvu shene hanashim vayeredu me'ahar, and the two men returned, meaning they returned back to the road, and they descended from the mountain. Vayavru vayavo Yehoshua binun, and they crossed the Arden, and they came toward to Yehoshua binun. This is 3 days later, the same 3 days that Bnei Yisrael were preparing their provisions, getting ready to cross into Eretz Yisrael. These two men were waiting 3 days in the mountains. Now they came back, returned to Yehoshua binun. Now they report directly back to Yehoshua. They were sent secretly, and they come back straight to Yehoshua. This is in direct contrast to what the spies during Moshe's time reported back to the whole nation. Once an entire nation hears about something and reacts, there is little a leader can do to fix the situation. So here they return back to only Yehoshua bin Nun, v'yisepirulo, and they tell him et kol hamotzeot otam. They tell him all the events that happened to them. V'yomeru el Yehoshua. They told Yehoshua ki natan Adonai beyadenu et kol haaretz, that Hashem has given in our hands the entire land. These are Rahab's words. Even though Rahab said et haaretz, they understood that the entire land, that kol haaretz, was given over into their hands. And they continue with Rahab's words. Ve'gam namogu kol yoshevei haaretz mipanenu. And also, all the inhabitants of the land melted from us. For them, the two spies, Rahab's words served as the purpose of their mission, and that's what they end off with. So, as we saw, there were a few glaring contrasts between the Meragilim that Yehoshua sent and the Tarim that Moshe sent. As you may have picked up on, Yehoshua sends Meragilim, translates as spies. Moshe, though, sent what the Torah refers to as Tarim in Sefer Bemidbar, which translates as explorers. This would indicate that they are two completely different types of missions. Moshe sent 12 people, and they reported back to the entire nation. Yehoshua sends 2 people, and the Navi is clear to mention that they were sent secretly, and they report back to Yehoshua only. Moshe sent them on an exploration, 12 Tarim, 12 explorers, to go check out the great land and report back to all of us how great the land is, so that there is an even greater inspiration to enter.
Yoshua, though, sent military spies on a military mission, only two, secretly, that are to report back to him directly. The explorers that Moshe sent failed and turned their mission into a military spy one, which brought upon the downfall and death of Dor HaMidbar. The two spies that Yoshua sent also failed in their mission. They were caught and couldn't spy out the land, but they came back with emunah, an inspiration to continue on, and that's how our perek closes off. I'd like to just end off with one last point that I heard from Rav Elchanan Samet, which is that from a literary standpoint, Rahav is the central figure in this perek. She is mentioned more than anyone else, and everything seems to be revolving around her. The saving of the Meraglim is done by her, and the saving of herself and her family is done by her. Rahav, through a look into Israel's history, comes to two important conclusions. One, a practical one, and two, a theological one. The practical one is that she needs to be saved. The theological one is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one omnipotent God. Even the most simple of people can come to great conclusions. Before we get into all the wars and conquering the land by force, we open up with the Perek of Rahav as an antithesis to everything we'll see. The option for anyone to join the Jewish nation and believe in the one omnipotent God is there. We are open to it and we'll give them what they need to live amongst us. Next Perek, we will see B'nai Yisrael cross the Arden into the land of Israel.